David Darren with the Top 5 Things podcast, a review of what happened on our morning show. My name is Dave, his name is Darren, and the Top 5 Things podcast is brought to us all by Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
That's true. Nature's Treatment of Illinois has two locations, one Tech Drive in Milan and one on Main Street in Galesburg. The location in Milan is open 7 days a week. In Galesburg, they're open each day except for Sunday. And, of course, you can join them on Instagram and Twitter.
Let's get into number one.
Number one.
Number one.
It's important to know what you can and cannot recycle. For example, bowling balls.
Uh-huh.
Bowling balls cannot be recycled.
So throw that in the trash. Or is there a special place that you take bowling balls? Is it like the same place as the paint place?
They say every day in New York City, they get 1,200 bowling balls at their recycling plant. Well, I mean,
people are giving up on bowling, or they're getting a new bowling ball. Can't you donate bowling balls? Wouldn't a bowling alley take your bowling ball?
You know what? That's what I would do. I would go to a bowling alley.
So you want?
I would throw the ball down. I would take the ball to a bowling alley. Throw it down the alley
and then leave.
Yeah, it's yours now. Because normally, I mean, the only identifier you have on a bowling ball usually is just like your initials, right? So good luck finding me. New York has the largest recycling facility in America. They sort more than 1,000 tons of metal, glass, plastic, and paper each and every day. They have a conveyor belt that's like 2.5 miles worth of conveyor belt there at this facility.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. And they say they started rescuing bowling balls years ago, and then they realized they couldn't keep up because every day they get 3 to 4 bowling balls. He says it was like walking on the beach. This guy who runs the recycling facility, the general manager, guy's name is Tom Outerbridge. He says, it was like walking on the beach for the first time, and you're like, oh, look at this shell. It's amazing. And then you realize there's just shells everywhere.
Isn't there something we can do with the bowling balls?
Well, they're made out of, like, resin, right? So you would think.
Couldn't we cut them in half and make, like, speed bumps out of them?
The assumption that people make is because bowling balls are plastic, that it's the same as, like, the plastic that would be in a takeout container. But it's not. It's not the same. Breaking bowling balls apart and selling individual components for scrap is not something that really makes any sense from an economic standpoint. So they end up going onto landfills.
Are we calling for an end to bowling?
Nobody is calling for an end to bowling. But what I'm saying is they're asking you to please quit putting them in the recycle bin. They say that these bowling balls that they're dealing with, at least at the New York facility, and I have to imagine here in the Quad Cities, it's probably a similar story. These are not coming in bulk from bowling alleys. These are people who have had enough of bowling and are putting in a recycle bin. Regular consumers like you and me.
Now, would we be collectively willing to give up bowling if it solved all of our ills?
All of our ills?
Uh-huh.
Sure. I mean, I like...
But, I mean, we all have to be on board.
Everyone. So, you're asking me, if somehow...
World peace.
Right.
Could be brought about.
If Jesus came back and said, my children, here's what I will do. Illness, suffering, war, pestilence, I will remove all of it from your experience.
But...
I just need you to give up bowling. Are you asking me if I would make that deal? Yes. Do I think there are some who would say, but I like bowling? Unquestionably.
I just can't put up with the sound of the pins anymore.
I have returned to make you the grand bargain. If only you'll give up bowling, you can live as if Earth were my father's house in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I want to go bowling. I guarantee there'd be millions of people with that attitude. Can't tell me not to bowl, Jesus. That's what we would be dealing with.
Because I'd give it up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how often have you gone bowling in the last 10 years? 2-3 times?
Okay.
I'm guessing.
Yep.
I can't even tell you the last time I went. It's been more than a couple of years. And my lack of going to the bowling alley is not at all connected to the global pandemic. I wasn't bowling before then. Here's the thing about bowling. I always have a lot of fun when I do it. On the ride home, my wife and I will be like, we should get in a league. You know what?
Oh, God, that's exactly what you need to do.
Right. And then, like an hour and a half after we're home from bowling,
your thumb starts hurting.
Yeah, one of us complains about a back hurting or a thumb hurting. It's like, no, we're not.
You guys really should. You guys should get in a couples league.
I think it could be fun.
It would be fun to hear about.
Yeah. That might be something that we save for, like, empty nest time. I don't know that we're there yet. I don't know that we need to be going away just yet for couples leagues. But bowling is something that when I do it, I think, well, this is great. I need to do more of this. Why don't I do this all the time? And then I just never do. I don't own a bowling ball. I haven't since I was, 11.
Wow. You had a bowling ball?
Of course I did. It was in a league.
Well, I played in a league as a child. I didn't have my own ball.
Well, you didn't take it seriously.
I think I did. I won a trophy.
Yeah, they gave everybody trophies.
Mm.
Bowling balls do not emit greenhouse gases, and they don't leach anything into the earth or the water.
Okay.
So you're fine throwing them away.
So we could cut them in half and use them as speed bumps.
If you wanted to, sure.
Or I guess you don't have to cut them in half, and that would be a very treacherous speed bump.
This is the elite bowlers, you people who are in the PBA, the Professional Bowlers Association.
Yeah.
They use what they call reactive balls. Those balls are different than the balls that you have when you are grabbing something that you like at your favorite bowling alley. It uses a different plastic called polyurethane with a liquid plasticizer that creates millions of tiny holes in the cover stock. And as the ball rolls the 60 feet down an oiled lane, it absorbs some of the grease on the lane, giving it that hook that you need to sweep away pins.
Seasons the ball?
Yes. Yes. More or less, yes. Reactive balls are produced in 6 or 7 specialty factories in the United States, Mexico, and Asia. They have weighted cores, which they say look like gas masks, hand grenades, guitar bodies, Easter Island statues. They're made up of a polyester resin, which is filled with varying amounts of calcium carbonate, barium sulfate, and glass microspheres.
Well, see, everyone working there wouldn't care for the world peace plan.
No. No, they're not. They're not doing that. I'm not giving up nothing. Why should I? All this bowling talk, I got to listen to Pete Weber lose his mind. This is maybe my favorite moment.
You're not me.
In the history of sport. Do it, Pete.
Strike to claim it. A strike to claim it. And he got it!
That is right, I did it! Another 5! Are you kidding me? That's right! Who do you think you are? I am!
That's right! Who do you... I did it. You didn't do it.
Who do you think you are?
I am. That's right. I'm the champ. I don't know that your father, Dick Weber, would have cared for that sort of behavior.
He's just going crazy.
You didn't do anything. I did.
Who do you think you are?
I am.
Well.
And now all the pros are bowling with 2 hands.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
That's the new sensation.
No, I don't care for it.
I think I'd lose my balance.
Yeah, you would.
End up in another. I'd end up in two lanes over.
Who do I think I am?
I am.
I are.
Oh, you know what? Now I want to go bowling just so I could do that. Even if I just get one strike, I'll just every time. Or you pick up any spare.
Is that something?
I want to start.
If you're someone who bowls on the regular, do people yell that a lot at the bowling alley? Because you're right, Darren. That's all I want to do.
Is get
a strike and just go, yeah, damn it.
You didn't.
Yeah, I did that.
Who do you think you are? I am. Oh, that's all we'll do next time.
Yes. All right. I want to go right after the show.
All right. So this whole world peace thing is on hold.
I'm saying let's put a pin in it.
Yeah, let's. Not for now.
Number two.
Darren, you have a concept for a television show called World's Wettest Dog.
Mm-hmm.
And for the newer listeners, will you explain the idea behind World's Wettest Dog?
We spotlight like three different dogs, and the dogs have trainers, very attractive trainers. The dogs jump in the water.
Yeah.
As do the trainers.
Is it a pool, a pond?
Yeah, it's probably like an Olympic pool.
Okay.
And you dive in, and then once the dogs get out of the water, America votes on which dog is wettest.
That's the concept of the show. World's Wettest Dog.
6 o'clock Saturday nights.
Why is it called World's Wettest Dog, but America decides?
America votes.
But why not let the world entire get in on the vote? Shouldn't it be America's Wettest Dog?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem with other countries want to vote. That's fine. International fees may apply.
As bizarre as this concept is that you've been pitching for years now, I've just discovered a new Japanese television show. Well, it's new to me. Apparently, this has been a hit TV show for 15 years. It's called Zenrukuyakaza. I'm sure I'm not saying
if you
that right.
Say so.
I'm sure I'm not saying that right. Zenrukuyakaza is a show that's on every Monday to Thursday night at 1:20 in the morning.
It's on at what time?
1:20 in the morning. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 1:20. People are watching Zenrukuyakaza. It's one of Japan's most long-standing television shows. It's been on for the last 15 years.
And its premise?
The concept is women running up steep streets. Each episode lasts no more than 6 minutes. That is with the opening and closing credits. And it focuses solely on a young woman as she runs up a street. That's it. That's the show. Pretty simple concept.
And then Japan votes?
I don't think there's any voting. There's a different protagonist each episode, usually a young actress or a media personality or an entertainer of some sort. And they shoot it somewhere in Tokyo or nearby. There are nearly 3,000 episodes.
6 minutes long.
Barrett, now, you've been to Tokyo. Did you find that the streets were pretty steep?
I don't remember any big steep streets.
At one point, the narrator, Mitsuru Fukuyoshi, utters the catchphrase of the show, which in English translates to, "This too is a hill that makes you want to run up it." And then a young woman will just run up the streets.
Boy, we could do that here in the Quad Cities easy.
Yeah, right? But, like, you can't just do Brady Street Hill every time. It's got to be a different street. Is this something we could adapt to the Quad Cities? Maybe I pitch this at the next Brood episode where we're trying to come up with episodes. What if we just have women running up streets? Doesn't really have anything to do with craft beer, but it's huge in Japan. All right. Off she goes. She's just running up a hill. And if she only could, she'd make a deal with God.
Is
she in high heels?
She is, I think you're right. No, those are sneakers. She's running up the hill and running.
I'm not hating this.
And now she's done. She did it. She ran up the hill. That's the show. Now she's a little out of breath because she just ran up a hill.
No, I like it.
That's the show. 3,000 episodes.
15 years.
A new episode every night at 1:20 in the morning. Here goes another one.
This... 昔この付近の山にはコウノトリの巣があったのだとか。この坂もまた実に走りたくなる坂である。What the...
Well, she didn't run very far to be that winded. Hmm. I'm confused.
I see the appeal.
So how do we do this? How do we get... If you want to watch young girls running up slopes, is it the sweating and panting at the end that does it for people? What is the appeal of this show?
Uh-huh.
Because this is very different from, say, watching a women's track meet. This is just women in regular...
Yeah, it doesn't look like there's a competition.
No, they're running by themselves. And watching them reach the top is said to be weirdly satisfying.
They don't run for long.
No. No, here's another one. Are they all running up the same street? Now, this one's got on some real running shoes with Velcro straps and everything. Off she goes.
She's running on the other side of the street.
横浜市鶴見区東寺尾北台にあるどんぐりコロコロ坂。
She's hauling it.
She's the fastest one. You can stop now.
And okay, like I wanted to talk about this show because I thought it was weird when I was reading about it.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I watch it, I think I'm in. I think this is my new favorite show. They're making headlines over there in Japan because they say they're making a major change to the show for the first time in 15 years. Any idea what the change is that they're making?
Dudes.
Yeah, they're going to have a dude. The show has recorded its first episode featuring a male protagonist. Actor Ryosuke Miura will be running up the hill. But they announced, the producers say, that young women will always remain the main focus of the show. But the fact that they've had this dude run up the hill, causing quite a stir. Now this dude's gonna run up the hill. Let's see if this does anything. Yeah.
調布市柴崎にある善波坂。
I don't know that I like this as much.
実に走りたくなる坂である。
And he gets to the top of the hill.
Yeah, he looks like he would just committed a crime.
I don't like that. You had me and then you lost me. Well, maybe we make this happen. Zen Ryoku Zaka. It's on every night at 1:20 in the morning. The fact that it's on that late leads to me to believe that there's probably an element that's watching this for reasons beyond the satisfaction of watching someone conquer a hill, right?
Well, they're in a different time zone. I'm not sure.
Number three.
Now, we have officially declared this the summer of the gator, have we not?
Yes.
With a rash of gator attacks.
Sometimes they seem to be intentional.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of the stories that we've read, a lot of the gator stories that we've read, you can't help but root for the gator.
People are just feeding themselves to the gators, right, for whatever reason.
Right. Well, we got a story here of an 8-year-old boy who was bit by a shark on the 4th of July. This was down in Volusia County, Florida.
Bit by a shark or a gator?
No, a shark.
A shark.
Yeah, which makes me wonder
if maybe it is not the summer of the gator.
Yeah, did we call it
too
soon?
Did we jump the gun?
That's what I'm wondering. 8-year-old boy on Sunday, 4th of July, bitten by a 2 to 3 foot shark. Taken by lifeguards to the hospital. Boy was bitten in the right leg around 4 p.m. local time.
How large a shark would you be comfortable being bit by?
The answer is 2 inches. Even then. Volusia County is the shark bite capital of the world. That's according to the University of Florida's International Shark Attack File. The shark bite capital of the world. Don't take your kids swimming in a place that has signs on the beaches that say, we're the shark attack capital of the world. That would be my first tidbit here.
Now, wait a second. Dave. There are two ways to deal with this problem. Hey, you're either going to kill this animal or you're going to cut off its food supply.
Larry, we have to close the beaches.
Yes!
That's right. Close the beaches.
That's right, Sheriff
Brody. That's what Dave's been saying.
We have to. No fatal shark attacks in Florida or the rest of these United States for 2021. So the gators have killed far more people than the sharks. If we're keeping score, and we are, it is still very much the summer of the gator. But we do have a little kid getting...
No, you don't want that.
No, and on the 4th of July...
What is this?
Uh-huh.
Amity?
Now, in Valrico, Florida... Darren, which is over on the other side of Florida. Right, Volusia is your East Coast, and then your Valrico is your West Coast of Florida. It is a peninsula. Story of a 29-year-old woman who was known to swim in a retention pond, attacked by an alligator over the weekend. And, well, she's dead as a result of the gator attack. You really shouldn't be swimming in retention ponds, by the way.
I guess I was going about 65.
What?
That's the wrong...
Wrong drop?
That's the wrong audio. Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office... confirmed that they recovered a body on the 4th of July at the retention pond across from the Landings Bar and Grill. Spokesperson saying, I can tell you that alligators are known to frequent the retention pond where the decedent was located per our underwater recovery team. Trappers went to the scene and put traps out yesterday at the pond. This one trapper, whose name is Chad Matthews... says you're at breeding season, and basically the females are laying eggs and nesting.
Yeah, don't get in the pond when it's breeding season.
It's a bad situation for you to go in the water, they say. Fatal alligator attacks are rare, but the pond is home to a large gator that has become comfortable around people. The gator is said to be 8 to 9 foot.
That's big enough.
And it's been there for years. People like to throw marshmallows and feed the gator. Don't do that. Don't feed an alligator marshmallows, you ridiculous people. Somebody's saying...
What, do you think that's going to soften him up?
And give him cavities? What are you trying to do? Sheriff's investigation is ongoing. Someone who works nearby telling the News Channel 8 down there, it's honestly shocking. I hope it doesn't become like a habit. I don't want more bodies showing up. That would be real scary. Right. Well, don't go swimming in a retention pond when it's breeding season. So if you're keeping score, gator took a bite out of a kid, but the kid, I think, is going to
live.
No,
shark did.
Or shark did, yeah. Shark took a bite, gator killed a grown woman. It is still very much the summer of the gator.
Number four.
TDI is targeted dream incubation. And the idea is they want to advertise to you while you're asleep and then put it in your subconscious so that you, when you wake up, you see, you want to go and buy their product. Coors is in trouble for this now.
So this is what I'm going to be asked to do next.
This will be the new initiative that they roll out, yeah. I have a lot of questions about this. The people at Coors...
The fine makers of Keystone Light.
They wanted to infiltrate your dreams to get you to buy and then drink more Coors beer. They encouraged people to watch a short video online just before you went to bed.
Uh-huh.
And then play an 8-hour soundscape through the night. And if successful, this targeted dream incubation would trigger refreshing dreams of Coors.
And or Keystone Light.
I think that they focus just on Coors, buddy. I don't think it's like everything under our corporate umbrella is yours to enjoy. I think when you're dealing with...
I don't know why not. We've got 8 hours. If we've got the time, we've got the beer.
Experts are saying that this is opening the door to a troubling future. Bob Stickgold is a cognitive neuroscientist.
Where's Stickgold at?
Professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. And he's wearing my Harvard tie, Darren. Like, oh, sure. He went to Harvard. He says they're trying to push an addictive drug on people who are naive to what's being done to them. And I don't know if it can get much worse than that, end quote. He thinks that more companies will do what Coors is doing. Quote, anything you could imagine an advertising campaign for at all could arguably be enhanced by weaponizing sleep. That's why Stickgold and others wrote this open letter, which sounds like an alarm here, over companies using targeted dream incubation. The letter signed by 35 sleep and dream researchers from all around the world. They say TDI advertising is not some fun gimmick, but a slippery slope with real consequences. The potential for misuse of these technologies is as ominous as it is obvious.
All right, but don't you have to be a willing participant in it? Don't you have to watch the video just before you go to bed? Don't you have to... What do you have to do with the dreamscape?
Yeah, the idea is you had to turn this on.
Yeah. And what does Coors want to do to me again?
Well, get you to buy their beer.
Yeah, I can't. That's already happening.
So you wouldn't be somebody that they would go after.
There's no real need to influence me.
Salvador Dali used to hold a spoon whenever he took a nap. He thought it would enhance his creativity. When he would begin to fall into a deeper slumber and fall into a dream, the spoon would drop from his hand onto a plate that he had positioned. And that would wake him up from the state so he could remember his dreams better. Right? Because the problem with dreams is you forget. You have the dream and then you forget what you had. Dali's trick was you grab a spoon, and then when it falls onto the plate, that wakes you up, and you wake up right at the moment that you were having the dream so you remember everything vividly.
What if I drop the spoon in the bed? If I go do a little rolling around in the bed?
Over the past decade, research has shown that some people's dreams can be more targeted and that humans can be highly susceptible to thoughts or ideas that are introduced to them while they're sleeping. There was a study in 2014 that found smokers exposed to the smell of cigarettes and rotten eggs while they were sleeping smoked 30% fewer cigarettes during the following week. Much of the research so far has been aimed at positive results. Scientists fear the threat of dream advertising is all too real. And in an increasingly wired world, it is not likely to be limited to people like you say, Darren, who are willing participants. Something like 30 million people have these listening Alexa-type devices in their bedroom. And those devices can play anything they want whenever they want. And advertisers could start buying advertising time. So they want a commercial played at 2:30 in the morning on your Alexa in your bedroom.
Now, you've got 10 or 12 of those things at home.
We have a few, yes.
Do you have any in the bedroom?
No.
Okay. Well, no. Sounds to me like you need to make sure that that doesn't happen.
They warned that this could open up a 1984 situation where advertisers are buying time on the devices and nobody even knows that they're hearing them. Maybe they have the Alexa program to listen for the sound of, like, snoring. And then it just kind of whispers suggestions into the air.
Do it.
You wouldn't even know it. Although, if somebody's buying advertising, there would be a paper trail, right? I mean, you would assume. I have a problem with this, and it's that I don't buy any of this, because I'm someone who quite regularly will fall asleep with the television on, and there are commercials on during.
And that never makes its way into your dream, huh?
Not as far as I know. Although, I do have an uncanny ability to remember every jingle I've ever heard. So maybe there is.
There is that.
Yeah, right? Get your skis shined up, grab a stick of juicy fruit. The taste is gonna move ya. Well, they're calling for stricter regulations on advertising to prevent products being thrust into your dreams. Like, if you have us on your Alexa and you fall asleep listening to the station, you're not going to be more apt to go to our sponsors because you heard the commercials in your sleep, right?
No.
You have to make it so that we know that you're asleep and we say things like, you need to go to Capriati's and get a Bobby for lunch tomorrow. It's got to be on the nose like that, right?
I know that by leaving the television on and falling asleep, that things incorporate them into dreams.
Yeah. Well, your slumber is safe for the moment, but these scientists are freaking out that this is a real threat. This Stickhold fellow says, we believe that proactive action and new protective policies are urgently needed to keep advertisers from manipulating one of the last refuges of our already beleaguered conscious and unconscious minds, that is, our dreams.
Well, because they might not be trying to just sell you beer or juicy fruit.
Uh-huh.
They might be trying to sell you a political candidate.
Number five.
Jackson, Michigan touts itself as home to the Ritz cracker. In the early 1900s, the Jackson Cracker Company invented a round, small cracker they called the Jackson. Spelt with an X. Jackson, Michigan, spelt like, Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-O-N. They made the Jackson, J-A-X-O-N, in the early 1900s. That company, the Jackson Cracker Company, was bought out by Nabisco in 1919. And one of the things that they were very excited about getting the people at Nabisco was the Jackson Cracker. They messed around with it a little bit, and then in 1934, Nabisco would introduce the Ritz Cracker, looking to compete with the Hi-Ho cracker made by the good people at Sunshine Biscuits. Now, see, I had always assumed that Hi-Hos were ripoffs of Ritz, when in fact it is the Ritz that's kind of a ripoff of the Hi-Ho cracker. Ritz appealed to individuals who were dealing with the Great Depression, right? It's a bite of the good life. When you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Putting on the Ritz. Ritz crackers are in the news because they're blowing everyone's mind. Again, these were crackers that were properly introduced in 1934. That's 87 years ago, right? You've got your Ritz cracker. Picture it in your mind. It's round. It's got the seven little perforations in it. And then what they call a finely scalloped edge. You've got those ridges around the Ritz cracker.
Right.
And I think most of us went our whole lives thinking, okay, well, that's on there because it looks cool. But Ritz now saying, no, there's a practical use for the edges on the Ritz cracker. And they're posting videos. The idea is you're able to cut the cheese using the cracker. If you put a piece of cheese, a slice of cheese on a plate, like a slice of Swiss cheese. You're supposed to
use... It's serrated like a knife.
Exactly. You run the Ritz cracker over it to slice it up and then make little sandwiches. That's what Ritz Crackers ridges are actually for. Those pretty aesthetic, beautiful scallops are indeed there so that you can slice cheese and enjoy the cheese between the two Ritz Crackers as a snack. People are saying that their entire existence is thrown into question by this revelation.
He's taking the knife out of the cheese. Do you think he wants cheese?
Have you ever seen anyone do this?
No, I haven't.
Will you be tempted to try this the next time you have a slice of cheese and some Ritz Crackers?
I just don't know how effective it'll be on certain types of cheese.
Well, as long as it's, you know, thin enough. Right. Obviously, you can't go after a wheel of cheese.
Right.
With a Ritz cracker. Or like a big block or a cube. That's not going to work.
No, that's not. You're going to be there all day.
Right, but if you're dealing with sliced...
I suppose if you're just talking about a slice of American cheese...
American, Swiss, Munster, what have you. Go ahead and feel free to slice it up and put it on the Ritz.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
Every time.
Give him another dollar.
Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes, or cutaway coat, perfect fits.
Must have been the biggest one in your class.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's going to do it for this installment of the Top 5 Things. I'm still waiting back to see if we can bring the Women Running Up the Hill show to Quad City Television. I haven't gotten any answers back from the people
I think
that
we can get
with.
Some takers.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you, just the people that I know, I haven't heard back. And I'm shocked because I really do feel like this is potentially a hit.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it airs at 1:20 in the morning.
Sometimes I'm up at that hour.
Till we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks. Oh, and we should say thank you to Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
Of course. Yes. They are open every day in Milan. Galesburg is open weekdays and Saturdays. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. The recreational waiting list, those are available. All you have to do is reserve your time at the website, and that's nice and easy at ntillinois.com.
Until next time, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad City.
Yes. Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
All right, show's over, I'm tired.